If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam. Thank you for having me.
Welcome. Well, we are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting, according to the laws issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Let me start off this episode with this question, Sheikh. Since we think that taking tablets or pills for treatment is not regarded as eating or drinking, or as you mentioned in one of the earlier programs, as a supplement, for example, in the common view, would taking those pills and tablets void the fast?
It definitely impacts the fast. It affects the fast. Because taking tablets through the mouth is a kind of eating, though in common view it is not considered eating, but it is a kind of taking. Just as you take food, you also take pills. And taking tablets through the mouth does invalidate the fast.
Mm. During the month of Ramadan, a husband or a man had sexual intercourse with his wife, with her consent. What's the rule concerning this?
Well, having sexual intercourse during the month of Ramadan is one of the invalidating agents, and it's strictly forbidden for a man and his wife to engage in sexual activities which result in, for example, in ejaculation, or, for example, having the intercourse itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it is forbidden. And if it both of them engage in a consensual sexual activity and it results to having sex or ejaculation, the fast becomes void.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be necessary for both parties for both the individuals to give the qadha of their fast and also give a penalty, which is called in legal parlance. It is called actually kafara, so they have to give kafara, which is, you know, to fast for 60 days and feed 60 people, because if they do it deliberately, this kafara becomes payable.
Mm.
And of course, not only kafara, but also they have to give the qadha of the fast as well.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's have a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program. I just wanted to have you a question quite related to this, but let's leave it, after the break. Stay with us.
Ya Allah, thank you for another chance standing at my door. Ya Allah, you've given me hope. Deliver this gift right to my home.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting. Sheikh Javed, before the break, I asked you a question regarding sexual intercourse, which you said that, well, obviously it requires a penalty.
Yeah,
right?
Qadha and kafara.
And Qadha, yes, both actually. But what if the couple have a foreplay, basically, all right,
yes,
before their sex, and without, they don't come to the orgasm or the ejaculation of the semen in the month of Ramadan while they are fasting? Does this invalidate their fasting?
Well, foreplay in and of itself does not make the fast void, as long as the both of them are confident that it will not result in ejaculation. You know, there are many other sexual activities like kissing, hugging, and, you know, touching each other actually. All of these practices are allowed, as long as they are confident that these acts of sexual activity do not lead to some kind of orgasm or some kind of ejaculation for both parties.
Mm.
So the fast will not be rendered void.
I see. Tom talked about the invalidating agent for fast. Would you tell us about the all of those invalidating agents? What does invalidate fast?
Yeah, there are a number of things which invalidate the fast. And of course, there are 9 things,
mm-hmm,
which invalidate the fast. One of them is eating, the other one is drinking, and then the sexual intercourse is strictly forbidden. It is also one of the invalidating agents. We discussed it. And then an act that causes semen to come out, like, for example, masturbation, which is a grave sin, it is strictly forbidden. And inshallah, maybe if we make time, we will discuss it.
Mm-hmm.
And then each of these invalidating agents that I just enumerate here will have their own, has its own details conditions which can be discussed in another episode, inshallah.
Mm-hmm.
And then failing to make ghusl for menses, for janaba, for nifas until the morning adhan. You know,
mm-hmm,
if a woman is in the state of janaba or in the state of monthly period or maybe in nifas, and she deliberately delays the ghusl which is required to be performed before dawn, so it's also one of the invalidating agents. And then enema, which is to insert some kind of liquid into the rectum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should say also that, for example, if someone inserts something hot, like something, for example, give the example of suppository.
Mm-hmm.
If it is inserted in the rectum because of the temperature, some people might have high temperature, so it is sometimes becomes necessary. That will not affect the fast. But if liquid is inserted through the anus, it will definitely make the fast void. So this was enema was the fifth one, and then the sixth one is vomiting. If a person deliberately throws up and vomits something which is in his stomach, then it will make the fast void. Number 7, to tell a lie regarding God and Prophet and the infallible Imams as an obligatory precaution, ascribe something lie, ascribe or tell some a lie,
mm-hmm,
regarding God, okay? It will affect the fast as an obligatory precaution. His Eminence exercises precaution in this regard.
This was Prophet and Imams.
The Prophet and the infallible Imams, and of course God. Okay, if you said something that God said and said such and such thing, well, God never said that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you ascribe something false to God, well, God never said that, okay? If the fast becomes void. The same is the case with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, and also the infallible Imams and Lady Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayha. So if you ascribe something false to them, the fast becomes void as an obligatory precaution.
Mm-hmm.
So number 8.
Let's leave it up to the after the break. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back, continue our program and continue the invalidating agents of fasting after the break. Stay with us.
Ooh. The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, Ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to the month of Ramadan and fasting in general, and in particular, Sheikh Javid, you were talking about the invalidating agents.
Yeah, we were talking about ascribing false things to God, the Prophet, infallible Imams, and as I said, based on the fatwa of all the religious authorities, ascribing false things to those noble figures, the Prophet and the Imams, and also God and the Lord of the creation, is not permissible under any circumstances. It will affect the fast as an obligatory precaution. Now, the eighth one is allowing thick dust to reach the throat.
Yes.
For example, if you know there is dust somewhere, for example, in a room, and you enter that room, it's so dusty that you cannot see things. It's thick, the dust.
Yes.
And when it comes to thick dust, you should see what the common people consider the dust as thick. Mm-hmm. If in common view, it is called as thick dust,
yes,
then it becomes an invalidating agent, and this again is based on obligatory precaution. So for example, smoking also comes under the very category because it's a kind of let's say dust. It's not dust, mm-hmm. but it's smoke, yes. Going into something. It is something like dust, but it goes into your throat without you wanting to inhale it.
Yes.
So it is not permissible, and it will make the fast void as an obligatory precaution. Then there is the ninth thing, which is submerging the whole head under water. The head under water. We know that submerging means that you, for example, jump into the water, for example, a lake or a swimming pool, and all of your body is covered by water. You submerge and you immerse your head underwater. This immersion is not permissible while fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And it does not make any difference whether you are fasting, you are observing a wajib fast or a mustahab fast. It definitely makes your fast void according to His Eminence, according to some of the religious authorities. There are, I said, this is a matter of dispute and controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Some scholars, including, for example, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, is of the view that submerging your head underwater, it does not affect your fast. So it's permissible to swim in the month of Ramadan and to dive underwater in the month of Ramadan, according to him. But according to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, one should avoid submerging. So, of course, swimming is permissible.
Mm-hmm.
And pouring water on your head is permissible. It does not affect, because normally when you pour water on your head, it does not make your fast void.
Mm-hmm.
You can pour your water on your head, and it's in common view, it's not considered to be submerging your head underwater. If you want to stand under a waterfall, again, it's not considered to be a kind of immersion underwater.
Yes.
You just like you stand under a fountain, let's say the shower, you go and take a shower and the water comes on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not considered to be submersion in the common view.
I see.
So ghusl, and of course, the fast is not made void.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, as the host of this program. And on behalf of the rest of the crew, we wish you farewell and ask you to keep us in your du'as and remember us in this blessed month, Ramadan. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Oh Allah.
unite.